Obviously, I'm not Pastor Stu. Our fearless leader is in Ohio this week, so he asked me to share with you. And I'm going to apologize right now if I sneeze because my germ-infested children got me sick, and I have no idea how to turn my head away from the mic when it's attached to my face. So we're going to be continuing our journey in Matthew this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 14. And if you didn't bring one, there are some in the chairs around you. Or also, you can download YouVersion if you don't have it yet. And if you haven't done this yet, I would highly recommend it. When you go into YouVersion, there's that More menu, and you can find the events for Disciples Church. And if you click on that and save it, there are notes for today, and there are all the verses for today. So that's really very helpful. A lot of you guys already know this, but I used to be a project manager for Franklin Templeton Investments. And if you're not familiar with Franklin Templeton, they are one of the top mutual fund companies in the world. And if you don't know what a mutual fund is, you should probably come talk to me after church. So when I was hired as an associate project manager in 2011, I actually had absolutely no experience or training as a project manager, but it was like I was born for the job, because by 2015, I was running multi-million dollar projects. So I had this awesome job that I loved, and I was really good at it, and I got paid well, and I had the 401k and the retirement benefits and all that good stuff. And I got along really well with my coworkers, and my bosses loved me, and I was next in line for a promotion. And I basically had this like 10-year career path mapped out and ready to go. And then in 2015, I had a baby. So I went out on maternity leave, but my husband, Patrick, and I pretty much assumed that when I was done with that 5 months of maternity leave, I would be right back at it, you know, climbing my way up the corporate ladder. But while I was out on leave, we started to get this crazy idea. You know, what if I didn't go back to work? And it was a crazy idea because we couldn't actually afford, you know, to live on one income. But we prayed about it, and we had people that we know and we trusted pray about it, and we just kept coming back to this crazy idea. What if I didn't go back to work? And the way it works out when God has a plan for your life usually is that things line up in a way that, you know, it made it actually possible for me to quit my job. It would require that we have some faith that God would provide for some financial needs and close some financial gaps. But in 2016, I quit my job. And that initial decision to quit was scary, but in some ways it was an easy decision to make because trusting in God with all that stuff was an abstract. We knew our lives were going to change dramatically, but we hadn't experienced it yet. It was only after several months without a full-time job where we started having these months where our income didn't quite meet our budget needs, and I didn't have that career with a big paycheck to fall back on, that, you know, these fears and these doubts started to creep in. And then at the same time, you know, I was a first-time mom, and I was a stay-at-home mom, and I started to realize I had no idea what I was doing, and I didn't have this career that I was so good at to kind of fall back on and make me feel, you know, that I was important. It didn't, you know, I didn't have that to give me my sense of self-worth. And if you were here last week, Pastor Stu talked about these three things that the enemy tempts us with: security, power, and esteem. And when I quit my job, I kind of walked away from those things in my life. And when I let go of those familiar supports, I started to have fears and doubts. You know, did we make the right decision? Is God going to provide for us? Am I worthy of love if I'm not doing something important in the eyes of the world? Am I making the right choices in parenting my kids? You know, what if something happens to my kids? What if something happens to me? Is God going to provide? All these fears and doubts just started piling up and threatening to overwhelm me. But why was I so afraid? I mean, wasn't it God that told me to quit my job? Why was I so afraid? The truth is, I was afraid because I wasn't really putting my full trust in God. I was so used to putting my trust in the things of this world, my job, you know, money, a good career, my own intellect even, that when I took this step of faith and I quit my job, it felt like I was stepping out into open air instead of into the arms of Jesus. When we put our trust in the things of this world, we start to believe in these lies that fear tells us, that God doesn't love us, that he won't be there to catch us if we take that step of faith, that he's not going to provide for us, that he's not going to protect us, that he doesn't care for us. All these things are lies that fear tells us. And in Matthew 6, 25, Jesus reminds us that those fears are lies. He says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith?" Why do we have so little faith? Over the past several weeks, we've been walking through this series empty-handed, exploring this idea of letting go of all these things that we carry around in our lives so that we can come to Jesus with empty hands. You know, we've been asking ourselves, what do we need to lose in order to find more of God? And this week, we're going to talk about this idea of losing our fear, which seems strange to talk about because who wants to be afraid, right? I don't think anyone wants to be afraid, let alone is clinging to that fear. But we all have fear in our lives. You know, yours probably aren't the same as mine. Maybe some of them are. But we all have those things that keep us up at night, that stop us from taking a step of faith that God is asking us to take, that stop us from following Jesus wholeheartedly. These things that keep us from trusting in him. So why is it so hard to let go of that fear? Because to let go of your fear, you have to trade your faith in the things of this world, things that you can touch and feel and see, for faith in an unseen God. But to let go of our fear, we have to stop trusting in the things of this world and start trusting in God. And when we do that, an amazing thing happens. Instead of fear, we experience peace. In John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." When we let go of our fear and put our trust in God, we free ourselves to accept this peace that he is offering. So let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for giving us peace, for offering it with open arms. God, I pray that this morning we would just take that first step of letting go of our fear so that we can have empty hands ready to accept that peace you have to offer. Just open our hearts today. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Amen. So if you are still in Matthew 14, that's great. If not, go ahead and turn there now. Our story is going to start in verse 22. And this is taking place right after Jesus feeds the crowd of 5,000. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. There's this interesting juxtaposition in the moment when Jesus shows up on the lake. Because before he was there, the disciples were doing okay. They were out on the water in the wind and the waves, but they were fishermen. They were familiar with boats, and they were kind of in their comfort zone. But then Jesus shows up walking on the water, and in that moment they are terrified. But at the same time, Jesus immediately calls out to them and says that he's there, that his presence is the reason that they shouldn't be terrified. When Jesus shows up in your life unexpectedly, it can be scary, because the life that he calls us to is so different from what we're used to, so far outside our realm of reality and what this world tells us we should be doing and should be wanting. I had a great job. You know, I was financially secure and I was a contributing member of society. And then Jesus showed up and presented me with this other option, a life where instead of relying on my paycheck and my own intellect for my security, I could put my trust in him and step out of the boat. And that moment when you realize that there's this possibility of another way of life, another reality, is a scary moment. It requires you to let go of the familiar things of this world that you've been relying on to feel secure. Your job, your retirement account, your family, your reputation, whatever it is for you, Jesus is asking you to let go of those things and put your complete trust in him. And that's terrifying. But in that exact same moment, when he's turning your reality on its head, he's also saying, "Don't be afraid, take courage, I am here." The presence of Jesus is what gives us the courage to overcome our fear. No matter what he's asking you to do, no matter how afraid you are or how impossible the situation looks, Jesus is always there with you. Over and over again throughout the Bible, God promises that he'll be there. I mean, Calvin just read one of those passages today. You know, God is always there with us. Another one that I go to a lot is in Joshua 1 verse 9. "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So Jesus speaks to the disciples in their moment of fear to tell them that he is there with them. And because he is there with them, they don't need to be afraid. So the disciples are there out on the water. They think they've seen a ghost, but now that person is claiming to be Jesus, but there's wind and waves, and I don't think they can see or hear him very well, because instead of Peter saying, "Oh great, it's Jesus, hooray," he asked Jesus to prove who he is. He says, "Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." And what a strange response, right? Okay, there are a lot of things that Peter could have said in that moment. He could have said, "Lord, if that's really you, calm the storm and come get into the boat with us." You know, back in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus had done just that. He had calmed the storm for them. So Peter knew that he was capable of that. Or he could have said, "You know, Lord, is that really you? I can't really see you. Can you come a little bit closer?" Or knowing how rash Peter is, he could have thought, "Oh, great, it's Jesus," and just jumped right out because he's Peter and would have expected Jesus to save him. But Peter doesn't do any of those things. Instead, he says, "Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Tell me to get out of the boat." Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of the great theologians of our time, says in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, he says, "Peter knows he dare not climb out of the ship in his own strength. His very first step would be his undoing. And so he cries, 'Lord, bid me come to thee upon the waters.' And Jesus answers, 'Come.' Christ must first call him, for the step can only be taken at his word." Peter doesn't ask Jesus to do all the work, and he also doesn't do all the work himself. He asks Jesus to call him so that he can step out in faith. To lose our fear, we have to listen for and respond to that call of Jesus in our lives. When I was thinking that God might be calling me to quit my job, you know, I was thrilled by this idea that I could stay home with my baby, but I was also terrified that we wouldn't have enough money to pay our bills. And so in that moment, I could have allowed my desire to stay home with my child to rule my decision-making process. I could have just quit and done that without seeking to confirm that it was God's will. But that would have been my will in my life, not his. Or I could have allowed my fear about finances to paralyze me. And I could have, you know, prayed to God, well, God, if you want me to stay home with my baby, then you should have my boss fire me, because that way there will be no doubt that it's you. And then I, you know, I won't have to worry about it. But that wouldn't have required any faith on my part. That would have been asking God to do all the work. The response that we should have in these situations where we're not sure if it's Jesus, if we're not sure what's going on, is the same response that Peter had. You know, if it's you, tell me to get out of the boat. Tell me to take that step of faith. You know, if it's you, tell me to quit my job. If it's you, tell me to go on that mission trip. Whatever it is in your life, you know, ask God to tell you to take that step of faith. But of course, after he tells you to take the step of faith, you have to actually respond. You know, Jesus told Peter to come to him, and so Peter got out of the boat. You know, Jesus told me to quit my job, so I quit my job. And in that moment of faith, when you step out of the boat, that's when you begin to let go of your fear. And when you respond to the call of Jesus, you can do the impossible. I mean, let's just pause for a minute and reflect on the fact that Peter walked on water. I mean, God called him to get out of the boat, and for a few moments, he was walking on water. He was doing the impossible. When you respond to the call of Jesus, you can do the impossible. I mean, with God, anything is possible. And when you first hear that call of Jesus, it might seem like he is taking you out of that position of safety, out of your boat, and into the storm. But, you know, Peter was in that boat, the place that most people would say is the safest place to be in the middle of a, you know, windy, choppy lake. But if you're, especially if you're a fisherman and you know what you're doing, you know, he wasn't in any trouble. But Jesus calls him out of that place of safety and into the wind and the waves. But let's remember what happened at the beginning of the story, right? Jesus was, back in verse 23, Jesus was up in the hills by himself praying, and night fell while he was there alone. And meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for the strong wind and wave had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. So they'd been out there for a while. He was up in the hills and night fell, and then in the middle of the night, he comes walking out to them. He walked out to them. The wind and the waves didn't matter to Jesus. The fears of this world, they fade into nothing compared with the power and might of the Messiah. I mean, and I'm not trying to say that Jesus doesn't care about your struggles. He absolutely does. But the power of Jesus is greater than all of our fears. Those fears that keep us up at night. How am I going to pay my bills? You know, how will I protect my kids? What are we going to do about this sickness? All of these things that life throws at us. To all those things, Jesus says, I love you. I will provide for you. We're right back, you know, to those verses in Matthew 6 where Jesus is telling us, don't worry about your everyday life. I will provide for you. But there are a lot of times when Jesus is asking us to step out of the boat that we're afraid because we're leaving that familiar safety. We'd rather rely on our paycheck, our status, our intelligence. We'd rather rely on the things of this world to make us feel like we're safe because they are known, they're familiar. But in reality, those things don't provide us with any security. They are here today and gone tomorrow. If we go back to the book, The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer describes stepping out of the boat in this way. The disciple is dragged out of his relative security and into a life of absolute insecurity that is in truth the absolute security and safety of the fellowship of Jesus. It would seem to the world, and sometimes to us in the moment, that when we respond to the call of Jesus, we are stepping out of a place of safety and into a place of danger. But the truth is, you are stepping away from your fears and into the only place in existence that fear is absent, the presence of Jesus. In Psalm 34, David says, "I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears." When we seek Jesus in our moments of fear, his presence delivers us from that fear. But of course, you know, Peter stepping out of the boat and walking on water is not the end of the story. He doesn't just, you know, go out there and walk out to Jesus and they high five and go on their merry way, so proud of themselves. No, Peter gets out on that open water and he sees the wind and these waves and he panics. Now, the implication is that he stopped looking at Jesus and he started looking all around him. And that is the moment that he began to sink. You know, as I mentioned in my story, it wasn't until I was a couple months into this life without a job when I started seeing bills and caring for a child that I had no idea what I was doing and I didn't have those supports. It was only then that I really started to feel afraid. And I felt like I was standing out on that open lake with the wind and the waves of responsibilities and bills. They were threatening to overwhelm me. And I began to question and doubt whether God would provide for me. And like Peter, I took my eyes off of Jesus and I started to sink. So what do we do in that moment when the fear feels overwhelming and we start to sink? When we're afraid, we need to cry out to Jesus. Like Peter, we need to shout, "Save me, Lord." We turn our eyes back to Jesus and ask him to save us from our fears. And when we do that, Jesus responds immediately. When Jesus first showed up on the water and the disciples cried out in fear, he called out to them at once. When Peter started to sink and he cried out, "Save me, Lord," Jesus reached out immediately. It's only after Peter is safe that Jesus gently chastises him for his lack of faith. But in our moments of doubt and fear, Jesus isn't going to stand there and watch us struggle. He isn't going to punish us for a lack of faith by making us suffer. If we cry out to him in those moments, he will immediately respond to us with peace and comfort. But there's still that action required on our part. We have to call out to him. We can't just lie awake at night, you know, trying to white knuckle it, thinking that somehow we're stronger if we get through it on our own. We have to cry out to Jesus to save us from our own doubts and fears. When we're in the middle of a crisis, you know, when things look bleak and we think that the challenges of this world are going to overwhelm us, we need to go back to God's word, go back to his promises, go back to our faith and trust that he is going to reach out and grab hold of us. I've been without a full-time job for almost 3 years now, and letting go of my fears and trusting in Jesus has been a bit of a journey, a journey that I'm still on. But over those years, I've seen God's faithfulness. I mean, in our moments of need, my husband and I have cried out to God, and he has always answered us. It's not always in the way that we expect. You know, it's not always exactly what we would have planned, but he always responds. And now, when those fears start to creep back in, you know, I'm getting better at crying out to Jesus to save me, at seeking peace and comfort in his presence, allowing his perfect love to cast out all of my fear. And after he rescues me from my fear, I hear that same gentle voice that Peter did. "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Jesus is not going to let us sink. So why do we doubt him? we need to let go of all those fears, all those lies that fear tells us, that God doesn't love us, that the problems of this world are stronger than God's love, that we're better off putting our trust in money and power and esteem because God couldn't possibly love us enough to save us. Those are the lies of the enemy. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." The God of the universe loves us so much that he sent his son to die for our sins so that we could have a relationship with him. Jesus loves us so much that he willingly died on the cross for us. Don't give in to the lies of fear. Seek the presence of Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on him instead of the worries of this world. When we stand in the presence of God's love, that perfect love drives out all of our fear. And when we put our trust in the God that loves us, our fears are replaced by peace. The story ends with Jesus joining the disciples in the boat. The wind stops and the disciples worship the Son of God. It's so easy to get caught up in the struggles of this life and lose sight of who Jesus is. The problems of this world can seem overwhelming, and sometimes our fears can blind us to everything else. We can be tempted to fall back on the familiar things, power, wealth, esteem, to fight against those fears. But instead, if we turn to Jesus, if we let go of our fear and put our trust in him, his glory will be revealed. His love will be revealed. His faithfulness will be revealed, and we will recognize him for who he is, the Son of God, and we will worship him. I mean, just imagine. Peter walked on water with just a little bit of faith. That's what Jesus said. You have so little faith, and yet Peter walked on water. If we have just a little bit of faith, imagine what we could do. If we had even more faith, imagine what we could do. We can't let these fears of this world hold us back from following Jesus. I mean, they're holding us back. That's what they're doing. You know, you could have so much more in this life. Jesus wants so much more for you. So I'm going to leave you with a challenge this morning. Let me go ahead and ask the band to come on back up. But this is my challenge to you. Right now, you might be at a point in your life where you're in the boat and Jesus is out on the wind and the waves, and you think that, you know, maybe that's Jesus, but you're not sure. If that's you, actually, I want you to pray that, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you." And I'm going to invite the prayer team up too so that they can go ahead and pray with folks when they need prayer. So if that's you, if you're in the boat and you're not sure if it's Jesus, I want you to pray, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you." Or maybe you've already taken that first initial step of faith and you got out of the boat and you started walking on water, and then something happened and you took your eyes off of Jesus and now you're starting to sink. I want to encourage you to cry out to Jesus, "Save me, Lord. Save me from my fears," and he will. Or maybe you're in a really good place right now. Maybe you are walking on water. You know, maybe you took that step of faith and you're following Jesus, and I just want to challenge you to keep your eyes fixed on him. Don't let the things of this world distract you. Don't let fears distract you from coming to Jesus with empty hands. Let go of your fears.